Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. And we'll start today with what might be the divergent paths of the road to marijuana legalization in New York and New Jersey. Governor Cuomo announced yesterday that legal cannabis will not be in the budget package due by April 1st, as he had hoped. But in New Jersey, a legal weed bill successfully got out of committee on Monday, and it looks like the full legislature is probably headed for a vote next Monday. We'll talk to Governor Cuomo about New York in about a half hour. We'll talk about New Jersey right now as the bills there inch toward the finish line. Concerns are growing, nonetheless, about whether the bill does enough to bring racial justice after pot laws have been used as, in effect, weapons against black and brown communities for so long. Contrast one of the reasons the bills in New York are stuck. It's because of objections like this from Assembly Majority Leader Crystal Peoples Stokes.
Now, if we can be the people, black and brown people who are incarcerated at mass numbers for marijuana, we ought to be the people who have opportunities to make business when it becomes legal New York, because it will become legal in New York.
Now, that was Crystal Peoples Stokes in 2017. Those issues remain unresolved in New York. As for New Jersey, Governor Phil Murphy says he's a big proponent of the racial justice elements. Here's a clip of Murphy emphasizing just that.
People ask me all the time, hey, are you sure you could generate $300 million from the legalization of marijuana? I said, you know what, I'm not sure. But you know what, that's not the question. We're not doing it for the dollars, we're doing it for social justice.
But how much social justice is written into the emerging law? Here to discuss are Karen Rouse, WNYC New Jersey reporter, and we're also joined by Amal Sinha, Executive Director for the American Civil Liberties Union of New Jersey. Hi, Karen. And Amal, thank you very much for coming to our studio today.
Hi, Brian.
As far as both of you can tell, to these bills meet Governor Murphy's standard, at least as judged by that clip. And Amal, I'll start with you. What's the ACLU's view on this?
So the ACLU has been advocating for marijuana legalization for a long time. And when we started, what we wanted to see were four things, basically. Automatic expungements of people's criminal records if they relate to marijuana, a diverse industry that looks like New Jersey and where you don't have to be a millionaire to be a part of it. We wanted to see reinvestment in communities, especially those that are hardest hit by the war on drugs. And we wanted to see home grow, you know, allowing people to grow their own limited amounts of cannabis for personal use, especially for those who are limited in income and mobility. Home grow is not in this bill. Reinvestment in communities is not explicitly in this bill. There is a municipal tax that goes directly to the municipalities who have free rein to do with it what they will, and we hope that they will put it to use in those social services that are tried and true and will help people. The industry diversity piece is in the bill. There is opportunity for people from so-called impact zones who may be impacted directly by the war on drugs. And there is opportunity for people with criminal convictions to participate in the industry. Expungements is very strong in this bill. We wanted automatic expungements. We quickly realized that the automated process is not a feasible one in New Jersey, because shame on New Jersey for not having the infrastructure to be able to do that. But what we have is an expedited process, which I think is the next best thing.
Meaning on a case-by-case basis, people would go back with their marijuana convictions?
Well, people, what the bill proposes is that there will be an online system where people will have to initiate the process, but all of the communications that need to happen in New Jersey, there are you have to contact pretty much every institution that could have been involved in your arrest and conviction, and it's a process that takes copious amounts of paperwork and could could take over a year, and even the courts say it's best to get a lawyer to do it. But now we hope that people won't need a lawyer to do it. They'll waive the fees, and they'll streamline the process so that the communication happens on the back end by the state rather than the individual.
Karen, politically, how much are the Black and Latino lawmakers in the New Jersey legislature on board with this emerging bill or package of bills based on the social justice standards as Amal was just describing them? Because many of them had questions, right?
Yeah. So I think, first of all, the Black legislators in New Jersey weren't all on board with legalization in the first place. So that was one issue. You don't have this block of people who were all fighting for these issues because many of them are really uncomfortable with the idea of legalization in the first place. Those that were supporting this bill, I think, feel like it's as strong as it could be in terms of the social justice, in terms of the expungements, especially all of the things that Amal just talked about. The expungements include people who have been arrested for possession or distribution up to 5 pounds. And that's actually a pretty strong change. When they started out, I think it was just possession and maybe up to 1 pound. So now they've actually gone all the way up to including distribution and 5 pounds, which is seen as a big get. Now, there are some people who are in the black market who feel like it's not strong enough because they've been caught with well over 5 pounds, and they will not be able to participate in an industry where you now have people legally selling, of course, well over 5 pounds in their retail stores. But I think that when I heard Assemblywoman Quijano, so she was one of the main authors of the assembly bill, and she said it's a bill that brings hope because of the expungement piece. So I think they feel strong about it. But a lot of the advocates, I think, do regret or feel disappointed that the home grow wasn't there, or even bigger, the revenue piece, because I saw in the New York Times that New York legislators really want that piece, and they're not willing to move forward on a bill if that piece is not there.
Can you explain, Karen, why home grow is considered a racial justice issue? A lot of people might be hearing that and thinking, oh, this is about just, you know, some stoner or whoever who wants to grow a few plants under grow lights in their home. What does this have to do with racial justice?
Well, it could very well be that stoner who wants to grow plants in their home. But I think the idea with home cultivation is that you have people who will not be able to afford to go into these shops and purchase the marijuana. It's going to be taxed. The expectation is that it's going to be higher priced than, you know, the black market has been all this time. And I think Philadelphia just released a bill, a proposed bill. They don't have it yet, but they're proposing allowing residents to have, I think it's 6 plants per household. And I think other states have done that. So the idea is that, you know, you have your own source of marijuana on your own. And that, I think, the fact that it's not in there, I think, shows the strength of the marijuana industry. In New York, the marijuana industry did not want to see home grow in the bill. Their argument is that, well, you can't, how do you track that? How do you enforce that if somebody has like 10 plants or, you know, stays under the limit? And then also, how do you keep the plant safe? You know, how do you know it's, you know, a safe product that they're using? But I was told, you know, in the last couple of days that really home grow was something that the industry did not want because it creates competition.
So Amal, what that raises is the specter of this being an industry like any other industry. People may not have their minds around that aspect of it yet. If they think of legalizing recreational cannabis as, you know, something that's kind of outside the normal big business, big pharma, big pick your industry kind of politics, but there is an emerging cannabis industry, and I guess a question here is how much power are they going to have over government to control what an individual can do in their own home?
Well, there's a thriving cannabis industry, and it's all over this country, and they're, you know, chomping at the bit to get into communities in New Jersey. What we want to make sure is that the governor and the state legislature hold true to their principles and make sure that it's about the social and racial justice, so that if an industry shop wants to get into Patterson or Camden or Jersey City or Newark, that they are contributing to those communities, and that, you know, we will provide them with the opportunity to be a part of those communities, but they need to give back. They need to make sure that they are adhering to norms of corporate social responsibility, giving back to those communities, hiring people from those communities, creating jobs, and also doing the social service things, or funding the social service things that the government is unable to do sufficiently right now.
Listeners, we do want to open up the phones for anybody in New Jersey, as legal recreational cannabis seems to be very close to passing in the legislature. It could pass as early as next Monday, and particularly on these social justice questions that WNYC's New Jersey correspondent Karen Rouse and our guest from the ACLU have been raising. So Black and Latino New Jersey residents, anybody who of any background who has marijuana convictions in your past, call up and tell us how this looks to you. 212-433-WNYC, or anyone else may call. We'll keep this to New Jersey callers for this segment. Then we'll have Governor Cuomo in about 20 minutes talking about the legal weed bill and other things in New York State. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And we'll put you on the air. So Amal Sinha, Executive Director for the American Civil Liberties Union of New Jersey. Let me come back to the question of this 5-pound sale limit with respect to expungements. I guess if somebody was selling more than 5 pounds of marijuana, they would be at least a sort of second level up dealer. A more than 5-pound dealer would probably be selling to a smaller dealer who would then be dividing it up into bags or joints or whatever to sell to individuals. Fair?
I suppose so. So the reason they put in 5 pounds in the law is because they are tying it to another piece of law in New Jersey criminal law where people are prohibited from selling up to 1 ounce, and then they are prohibited from selling from 1 ounce to 5 pounds. So they're tying it to that second tier law. There's another category of crimes that's 5 pounds to, I think, 25 pounds, and then there's another category of 25 and up. Mm-hmm. So they're tying it to that second tier because they thought that was the reasonable approach.
And do you think it's the reasonable approach? Is there something more evil about somebody who was selling between 5 and 25 pounds than somebody who was selling less than 5 pounds?
Not at all. I think you know, ideally the ACLU would have liked to have seen all distribution charges being cleared. I think, you know, the rationale behind this is that there is something that people see as worse if you sell more, but I don't think that's the case. I think people know that there has been a thriving illicit market for cannabis for a very long time, and these are the people that can probably do well in the regulated industry if they were given the opportunity. So we would love to see all distribution charges being cleared.
Karen, is there reporting on who these 5 to 25 pound past dealers are? Are they people involved in organized crime of one kind or another who also have, you know, violent associations or convictions in their backgrounds? Or, you know, one could make the case, who knows how to sell marijuana better than somebody who's been selling marijuana? So what is that population, if it's known?
That I don't know, but I think there is that belief. I think there's that mindset in New Jersey that if you are over that 5-pound limit, you are a big dealer. I think even, you know, over the 1-pound limit, people were uncomfortable with in the legislature. There is a man, Ed Fortune. He's known in New Jersey as the New Jersey weed man, and he's talked about this. In fact, tomorrow he says he's going to openly sell weed in Trenton, and he says he's going to sell it like a white guy because he says that this law is basically designed for white people who got caught with, you know, small amounts of marijuana, but doesn't help people like him who has 2 convictions. And then the first one he was caught with, I mean, I think it was something like 20 pounds of marijuana. And he says it's going to exclude him. And he's somebody who's been in the black market for a long time. He's very open about it. But he says it doesn't include people like him, and so it's not really social justice.
Let's take a phone call. Here's Mark in Denville. You're on WNYC. Mark, thank you for calling in.
Hey, Brian. Love your show as always. I'm a guy that 2 years ago I got convicted for bringing about 3 pounds from upstate New York. I'm still on probation for it. I think we just need to legalize it. Just get the foot in the door, and we could talk about expungements later. That's what I think.
Thank you very much. Amal, what do you think about that proposal?
Well, I think a good legalization bill, well, a good civil rights bill of any sort looks backwards and looks forward, right? We need to ensure that we repair the injustices and the harms of the past as well as we can, and then look forward to make sure that the state is more equitable and more just in the future. And this bill does both, right? If we took care of just legalizing and didn't worry about expungements, then we can be sure that people like Ed Forcione would be boxed out of the industry because the people that would be most qualified are the people supposedly most qualified with quote air quotes here, are the people without criminal convictions that have a clean record that would be able to raise the capital to get involved in the industry. We're going to lead our state down the path of an elitist white industry that's built on the backs of criminalized people of color.
So do you think then that the issue or part of the issue is that it should be clearer to the people in the legislature that justice is really about two things, criminal justice and economic justice?
I think it's about criminal justice, economic justice, racial justice, and broadly social justice. We need to make sure that we are addressing all of the flawed criminal justice penalties that we enforced against people during prohibition and continue to enforce against people during marijuana prohibition. And we need to undo the racial biases to the best that we can that have plagued the criminal justice system and the economic system for as long as possible, as long as I can remember. And the reality is that, unfortunately, socioeconomic status is inextricably intertwined with race. And we need to do something to address multiple things at the same time.
Let's take another phone call. John in Warren, you're on WNY. Oops, John disappeared. How about David in Montclair? David, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, good morning. I'm just calling very briefly to say legalization of marijuana is great, but let's not forget that criminalization of all substances, of all drugs, has been an unmitigated disaster, and we need to focus on that as well. That's all.
Thank you very much. Karen, is there any conversation in the New Jersey State Legislature about decriminalizing at least any other kind of drug?
I think there was one other. I believe there was a bill. I'm not sure how seriously it was taken. I've heard that that maybe included heroin, but I don't think anybody had any sort of idea that that would even fly in
yeah.
any way.
I mean, there's certainly a presumption, Amal, at least politically right now and culturally in the United States, that marijuana belongs in a different category than what people might call hard drugs, cocaine, heroin, other opioids that are not prescription, things like that.
Yeah, I think that is the cultural narrative. And of course, there are substances that are harsher and worse for people's health that are out there than marijuana. However, I think I agree with the caller that possession, generally speaking, shouldn't be criminalized because we've seen the history of possession enforcement in our country where black folks are much more likely to be arrested and prosecuted and given harsher punishments for possession crimes than white folks. And it's incredibly important that we take steps to chip away at that because we know that the war on drugs is a failed war that only impacted communities of color in our country.
Hakeem in Hillside, you're on WNYC. Hi, Hakeem.
Hi, good morning. Basically, New Jersey needs to hurry up with this legislation and legalize the marijuana. Small towns in New Jersey that are being crushed by the county tax demand, it's ridiculous. These small towns can't keep up with their own infrastructure. These small towns can't maintain their equipment. These small towns can't bring on more police officers. And they surely can't have enough staff that's there for the public works departments also. They have almost 100-year-old infrastructure that's untouched drainage, sewage, other things that's going on in these small towns, and the county's tax demand is unfair on them because they're taxing everybody into foreclosure here in the state. I pay double-digit taxes. This New Jersey needs to come on and hurry this legislation, let these small towns benefit from the tax revenue that's going to allow the sales in them.
Thank you very much. So, Karen, that's interesting. He wasn't bringing up social justice or economic justice. He wasn't bringing up sort of the libertarian argument that people should have the freedom to do something as relatively benign as using marijuana without the government coming down on them. He was bringing up the revenue piece. There's going to be a tax on this, and the New Jersey towns and other localities need it.
Yeah, well, Governor Murphy would be very happy with him because this is one of the arguments that he's making. But, you know, this does kind of raise the social justice issue is what is that tax money going to be used for? And, of course, the way the bill is designed, there's a state tax, but there's also there are also different levels of taxes that municipalities can levy on retailers, wholesalers, manufacturers of marijuana. And on the social justice end, you know, you brought up economic justice. That's seen as part of the economic justice piece of allowing or setting aside a percentage or some part of the revenue that comes in for communities that have been impacted. That was something that Newark Mayor Raz Baraka called for, Jersey City's Mayor Steve Phillip called for, and things like, small business loans, training for people of color who come from those communities and whose lives have been sort of upended because they had these convictions. But yeah, as it stands now, the bill allows municipalities to keep whatever share of the revenue they collect to use for whatever purpose they decide. And some may. You know, in Colorado, I understand that there are a couple towns that have used their revenue for scholarships for low-income people. So, you know, that could occur, but it's not mandatory in the bill.
And I guess, Amal, this comes back to what you were saying before, if I heard you right, is the weakest piece in social justice terms of what's provided for in this bill, that is designating the money from the tax revenue to be used for social justice purposes or who gets the licenses, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, that's probably the least best piece. The reality is that municipalities don't want their hands tied when it comes to money. They want to be able to do with it what they need to on an as-needed basis. And we have to, you know, as social justice advocates, amp up the pressure and make sure that these municipalities do the right thing with the money that they're getting.
So if this passes as is, it sounds like you're going to have a campaign on your hands, town by town, city by city, county by county in New Jersey to argue for how the new revenue from marijuana taxes should be used?
Yeah, and I think, you know, we can have a statewide campaign on our hands as well, where we are encouraging the state to put the money to good use as well. Right now, the state level tax, which is, you know, $42 an ounce for the cultivator, would be collected in a fund that would help a cannabis regulatory commission operate. And then some money will go towards expungement, but it's not really clear in the bill how it's going to be used for expungement. And some money will go towards, I believe, training law enforcement and drug recognition experts. And that's, you know, those are important needs. However, we would love to see the money going towards education and drug treatment and counseling and job training and, you know, reentry for people that are trying to get their lives back together.
So is it too early, Karen, to ask if you see those kinds of debates about how much the money will be used for any of the things that Amal was just talking about on a town-by-town, city-by-city, county-by-county basis?
Well, in talking to various social justice organizations, they're going to continue pushing for this. You know, they didn't get it this time. There's disappointment because it was something that was asked for early on. It was very clear that this is what they wanted. And I think this is going to be something that they just see as, okay, we didn't win this round, but I feel like the expungement piece was very important, and they feel like they needed to move forward with this bill because, Amal, you would have this number, 32,000 are arrested every year in New Jersey on marijuana charges, and they felt like that is the more important thing, is to sort of get that to stop, that social justice piece, and then fight for the economic piece, that revenue later.
WNYC New Jersey correspondent Karen Rouse with us, along with Amal Sinha, Executive Director of the American Civil Liberties Union of New Jersey, as we talk about the marijuana legalization bill that did make it through committee this week. Looks like it's headed to the full legislature next week. And Karen, what is the timeline on this? Are we going to be talking Monday afternoon about here it is, legalization of recreational marijuana use in New Jersey?
That has yet to be seen, because right now the votes are not there. There's still division, and I think in the Senate, last I heard, and that's held for a couple of days, they were six votes short, and maybe a handful in the Assembly. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, Governor Murphy is pushing hard. I saw last night, I read that he had Al Sharpton's support. And I think he's making this social justice argument. You know, he's not talking so much about the revenue. He's talking more about social justice and what this will mean to communities that have been impacted.
If there are holdouts in the legislature in that number at this late date, does that mean that there are at least six people who are holding out for some additional piece and there's still some horse trading or other kind of negotiating to do? Or is it really a matter of just convincing them that this is going to do more harm than good? I mean, more good than harm in their communities? Or what's the next step?
I think some of them are hard-nosed that they're not going to change. And maybe some are holding out or need some convincing. But it hasn't really moved in the last couple days. It is scheduled for Monday. You know, it's posted. But, you know, we'll see.
Amal, any political analysis from you?
Well, you know, I think there is a combination of transactional politics that needs to happen along with the politics on the merits of the issues, right? There are people that are going to be moved by the horse trading, and there are people that are going to be moved by what the bill actually does for the communities that they represent. We hope to be a part of both, right? We want to make sure that people are getting, lawmakers are getting what it is that they want to in other areas to benefit their communities, but they're also getting the merits of this bill and why it's so important for racial and social justice. And I don't know, the numbers that I keep hearing about who's in and who's out changes every minute to every hour. But I want to, I don't know the exact numbers as they stand today. But I do think that there are a lot of people that may be maybes, that are people that are convincible in the grand scheme of things. And it's our responsibility as social justice advocates to do the work that we do in lobbying these folks and making sure that they see the light.
Karen, how will the licensing work? How's it going to be determined who gets licenses to run cannabis stores, cannabis cafes, which I gather will be legal in New Jersey under this bill, and any other licenses?
Well, there's going to be four different licenses. There's one for growers, cultivators, you know, manufacturers, wholesalers, retailers.
Those are the people selling more than 5 pounds.
Yes, yeah. So there's those four classes of licenses. And my understanding is if you're in that, under that five pounds or less limit, there's nothing stopping you from applying for a license. And this isn't totally clear yet.
That is if you were convicted in the past.
Yes.
Even if you were convicted in the past for anything under 5 pounds. And do people with those past convictions under 5 pounds get priority?
There is priority. I don't know if they get priority any more than anyone else, but there is a priority. There's a micro license. I think it's called a micro license. Mm-hmm. And that does set aside or give some priority to, I think it's, you know, not just minorities, but also women, disabled veterans. And I think it allows for people who don't have as much money to open, you know, like somebody who's not an out-of-state person who can come in and open, you know, a large retail operation.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that social justice piece in the licensing process.
Will chains be allowed? You know, a company that comes in and opens a dozen stores around the state?
You know, I would imagine so, because isn't that with medical marijuana?
So it's a little unclear as to whether or not chains like that would be allowed, because the bill does say, and I'm unclear if it's per person or per entity, individuals aren't able to have more than one license of each type. So it does incentivize people to team up with communities and other folks around the state to make sure that they are in coordination or in responsive to the law. But I think We want to avoid, you know, monopolies in this. We want to make sure that, you know, small business owners, mom and pops, have the ability to start their own businesses from the ground up, and we hope that's going to be the case.
And what about communities opting out? When we talk to Governor Cuomo in just a couple of minutes, one of the things that I'll raise with respect to New York is that the county executives of both Nassau and Suffolk, who are also both Democrats, have announced that they would opt both Long Island counties out of any legal marijuana system. No pot stores in, you know, Mineola or Ronkonkoma or pick your place on Long Island. Can New Jersey localities opt out?
Yeah, a lot of them have already passed resolutions to opt out. My understanding is that doesn't really mean anything on this side of the bill, that after the bill passes, if it does, if we do have that big moment on Monday where marijuana is legalized, that they have, I think it's something like 100 or 180 days to decide. And then I think that whatever they choose will be reviewed again in 5 years. So, they can opt out. But that also means you're opting out of the ability to tax to get that extra tax revenue.
WNYC New Jersey reporter Karen Rouse. Amal Sinha, Executive Director for the American Civil Liberties Union of New Jersey. Thank you both so much.
Thanks, Brian.
You.